Father, we thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to just learn of you, to learn of the word. We thank you, Father, that your word is first and foremost in our lives. We thank you that the seed of the word of God would come out unhindered and unchecked by any outside force, and it would go into our hearts and bear forth much good fruit, Lord. Now I decrease that you may increase, and that your anointing may be upon me, Lord, and that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we may be able to apply this word to our lives to see real change. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's get started. I started last week teaching about the kingdom, the government of God. So you guys can get started on the PowerPoint. I believe that's slide 22 that we're going to start on. So you see it right there, the government of God. And I want to read you a quote. You can go to the next slide. I want to read you a quote out of a book. It was actually the first hardcover book that my dad wrote, who's the pastor, Dr. Bill Winston, pastor of this church. And so, woo-woo. And he wrote this book called The Kingdom of God in You. And it said this, it said, when we limit the kingdom, is it up there? Okay. When we limit the kingdom to inside the four walls of the church building, psychologically, the world becomes our adversary. I want you to listen to this. Anyone outside the walls becomes the enemy. The devil intentionally planted the idea in our minds that the church is limited to a building because he doesn't want us out in the world. He wants us to be afraid of it. Isn't that such a sneaky plot? To make you think that this is the safe, and then that's the enemy right there. You go out, you leave out the church walls, and folks become the enemy. But that's not how it is in the kingdom of God. See, in the kingdom of God, yeah, in church we do reverence God, we learn about God, you know, we come together, we fellowship together. But it doesn't make that the enemy. It actually makes that the target. That's what we want to affect. We want to affect the world. We don't want to be scared of the world. We don't want to come and say, can I just sit in church as long as possible, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? That's not the goal. The goal is to take the Jesus inside of our hearts that we worship at the church outside of the walls of the church. Next slide. So last week, where did we leave off on? John chapter 3, verse 3. It says this. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you remember last week, we had a doorway right here. You guys remember the doorway? We had the doorway right here, and we were standing in the doorway, and we were looking at what was in the house. We were picturing a brand new house. It was all paid for, everything paid up. You fully owned it, but you're standing at the doorway of the house. You can't enjoy the house from the doorway. Now it says this in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we came upon this principle. You can go to the next slide. We came upon this truth. Salvation was only meant to be the doorway. Salvation was not the end goal. Salvation through Jesus was just the doorway. Kingdom of God and expressing the kingdom of God, that was the main goal. That is the gospel. That's what Jesus came to preach. He came teaching, preaching, and demonstrating the kingdom of God. It confirms this in dozens of scriptures in the New Testament, in the gospels. This was Jesus's message. He was preaching the same message. He wasn't preaching a different message. He wasn't preaching just a cool message or a culturally relevant message. He was preaching a kingdom message. Are you with me? Are you following me? Okay. He said, what's the kingdom of God? I'm going to get there. Hold on. I'm going to get there. So next slide. So we talked about what's in the house. Say, what's in the house?
What's in the house?
So we said, okay, we leave off right here at the doorway. We're going to talk about what's in the house next week. So now is next week, part two. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. And I put these scriptures on the screen so you can follow along. Please write some notes because something that I say might be real good for you. It says this, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive, say this with me, power, and say riches, and wisdom, and say strength, and say honor, and say glory, and what's the last word? So we have power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And Jesus was slain so that we could It says to receive. It did not say to achieve. It did not say to earn. It did not say to work for. It did not say to qualify for. It did not say to be good enough for. It did not say to get good grades to be able to deserve it. It said to receive. All you have to do to receive is receive. This is really important because a lot of people are trying to earn God's blessings. They're trying to earn things from God, but you cannot earn it from God. Jesus already has done all of the work, and it's provided through grace. So all of these things here, who here would like riches? Okay. Who here would like more power to control the situations that they're in? Okay, what about who here would like wisdom? You have just infinite wisdom on what to do. What about strength? You want more strength, more courage to be able to push further. What about honor? Who in here wants some prominence? You want some folks to know your name. What about glory? Who wants glory? What about blessing? So a lot of us raised our hand. Now, who seems to be quick to raise their hand when we say, who wants more religion? Not so many people are like, who wants more religion? But, you know, when I go out into the world and I ask people who don't know Christ, I can say this. Who wants to go to church service? Hey, y'all unsaved folks over here. Who wants to go to church service 7 days a week for 3 hours every day? Who wants to do that? Who wants to, or over here I'll say, you know, who wants to pray for 4 hours a day? And, you know, I think God would really love us more if we prayed for 4 hours every day. Or, you know, what if we tried to be on our best behavior every day, all day? Maybe we can get God to smile on us. But when I come and I say, you know what? What if I could promise you that I could get you more joy? Or I could get you more peace. Or what if I promised that I could get you more provision, meaning more financial security, meaning more money in the pocket? Or what if I said, I can help you get a better housing situation? That sounds like a good deal, right? What about this? Good health. Your mom needs good health. What if I said, I can guarantee I can help your mom get good health? And we don't even have to go to a doctor. Now, who in their right mind is refusing that deal? And I say, you know what? It's free. It won't cost you anything. Who's turning that down? Nobody's turning that down. You know what that is? That's representation of the kingdom of God. See, religion tries to make you work for what Jesus has already worked for. That's what religion is. Religion will try to make you work for what Jesus has worked for. You didn't pray enough. You didn't go to church enough. You didn't act good enough. You were too bad to get this. Oh, God's mad at you for that. That's religion. Over here is the kingdom, which says that all the work has already been done. All you have to do is receive it. How do we receive it? By faith. We trust God. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. So this is what's in the house. You stand at the doorway, that's salvation. What's in the house? All of these things. All of these things for your benefit. So what is the kingdom of God? We can go to the next slide. What is the kingdom of God? Pastor David, okay, you're almost losing me though. What is the kingdom of God? I wanted to zero down, just kind of get it down to the lowest common denominator. We had a great leadership small group last week when you all were doing small groups, and a lot of great comments were going around. And out of that, I came down with this. The kingdom of God is God's divine way of operating. It's God's divine way of operation. That's the kingdom of God. Plain and simple. The kingdom of God is God's divine way of operation. It's God's way of doing things. This is the government of God. You don't have a vote in it. You got to walk in love. That's how the kingdom of God operates. There is no voting. Well, God, you don't know what he did. I don't have to know. The word says walk in love, but you don't know what they said. Doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that God doesn't care. What that means is you don't have an excuse. So this is the kingdom of God, God's divine way of doing things. So this is what I want to think of it like. I said, God, help me get something that is very relevant for your generation so you really can understand this. So anybody in here have an iPhone? Anybody have an iPhone? Okay, Android people, calm down. We'll pray for you after service. We'll pray for you after service. Okay, so some of y'all have an iPhone. I have an iPhone, so that's why I'm going to use this example or illustration, but you'll understand even if you have an Android or some other smartphone device or BlackBerry. So the kingdom of God is like this. It's like if you have an iPhone, and if you have an iPhone, you know that you have an operating system on that iPhone. It's called iOS. You know, they used to have the iOS 1, but I think now we're on the iOS 12.4. So we're on 12.4, 12.6. And what do the numbers mean? The updates, the number of versions. So now we're on 12.6. So there's been 12 versions before, since the first iPhone. And so you have this operating system, and every time, you know, new phone comes out every year, you know, they'll update the operating system. But you're right. Hold on, let me teach this though. And so what happens is, if you don't update the operating system, after a while, there's some apps that won't work anymore because you have an old operating system. Furthermore, if you have an iPhone, but you do not have the iOS operating system loaded onto it, you can't do anything. Now, you cannot separate the iOS operating system from the Apple iPhone. You cannot get an Apple iPhone and put Google Play and Android operating system on it. It doesn't work like that. They're inseparable. iPhone and the iOS system, they're inseparable. You have to have the correct operating system to use the phone, right? So the kingdom of God is like the iOS. It's like the operating system. It's God's operating system. And if you use it correctly, you will get great results. If I go and open the messages app, I can send a text to my wife. Great. But if I try to go and open a game, right? Come here. Who has an iPhone? Who has an iPhone? You have an iPhone? Come here. Do you have any games on your iPhone? You ain't got no games? He lying. Who has games on their phone? Come here. Got Angry Birds. Come here. Open up any game, any random game. And can you tell us what game you opened?
I think it's Music Notes 3.
Music Notes 3. Oh, that sounds cute and fun. Music Notes 3. Now, it's going to open. I see it. Okay, some tiles, okay. All right. So why don't you go ahead and from that app, try to make a phone call. That's funny. She said, that's funny, Pastor David. Can you make a phone call from that app? Why not? It's not meant to do that. So you can only operate it the way it's meant to be operated. So you can't just do anything anywhere from any app. You actually have to use specific apps that operate in a specific way to get a specific desired output, right? So there's parameters in which you have to use the operating system, but if you know how to use the operating system, it will work for you. Now, why don't you do this? Close down the games and go to your telephone app. All right. Is there somebody in there we can call? Let's see. I see Dad right there. Your dad's at work. Okay, I don't want to get you in trouble. Let's see. Do we have a friend that we can call? Let's see. Call me. Call Mama V. Call Mama V. Let's see if this works. So she's going to the telephone app. I want you to stick with me. She's going to the telephone app. Aw, the baby. She was like, my mama got an Android. I'm sad. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead, call. Call Mama V. Pick it up, Mama V.
Respect that ringtone.
Pick it up.
Hello?
What's up?
Hey.
Also, it works. So as long as you go to the right app, you can hang up. As I don't want her to waste her minutes. As long as you go to the right app, it'll work for you. So as long as you use the operating system the right way, you'll get the desired results. What's really cool, you might have seen it before, every time they operate to a newer operating system, you'll have the little tips that pop up on the screen, right? See, and they tell you how to use the operating system because there's brand new features. The Holy Spirit is your tips. He's your guide. He's telling you how to operate in the operating system. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps you navigate in the kingdom of God and shows you how to get the best results in the kingdom for the things that have already been provided for you. Thank you so much. You may have a seat. I appreciate it. So let's go to the next slide. Just a quick reminder. Definition of the kingdom. The governing authority, this is the definition of kingdom, the governing authority and influence of a sovereign ruler who impacts his territory through his will, purpose, and intentions, which are manifested in the culture, lifestyle, and quality of his citizenry. And so this is all about the king. It seems like it doesn't put a lot of emphasis on the people and what the people think and how the people have voted, the people. It puts a lot of emphasis on the king, the king's will, his purpose, and his intentions. We talked about last week that the king actually owns legally the country. The queen is the legal owner of England. Ain't that something? Next slide. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said, "Be cool, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here, see there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." So what does this mean? This is God's operating system, but it's not somewhere we can see, it's within us. Whoa, that's interesting. Let's keep going. Next slide, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Remember we read this too? "And I will give you the," what does that say? Keys. Let's say it loud.
Keys.
Keys of the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That sounds like power, right? So he's talking about keys to the kingdom. So next slide. So what are these keys? We keep messing around talking about these keys, but what are the keys? Got the keys. So what are the keys? Well, in John chapter 14, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you," because he wasn't here to do away with the Old Testament or the old commandment or the old covenant. He was there to complete the covenant and then help you enter into the new covenant through the shedding of his blood. So the law of love is the new covenant commandment. This is the new covenant commandment. He said, "Don't love others as you love yourself." He said, "A new command I give you, love others as I have loved you." So the old commandment works good when you love yourself good. But what if you don't love yourself real good? That's the standard that you have to love others with? But Jesus said, no, come on up to my standard now. Love others as I have loved you. And we know that Jesus went to the cross for people who didn't even care about him. That's a large level of love, right? So this is the law of love. The economic system of the kingdom, because the government of God, any government, has to come with some kind of economic system, right? Here in America, we have capitalism. It's one of our big economic engines, buying and selling. We do a lot of that. Anybody in here sell anything, any products? Do you make anything or anything? Oh, cool. A couple of you all. And so the economic system of the kingdom is sowing and reaping. Isn't that amazing? I don't have time to get all the way into that. That's one of my favorite topics. The economic system of the kingdom, sowing and reaping. Jesus talks a lot about it. Read about it in Mark chapter 4. Faith is the currency in this government. We have American currency, right? U.S. dollars. You got a few hundreds on you probably, right? Yeah. And so we have American currency. Now, my American currency, even though it's valuable to me, if I go to South Africa, I was just in South Africa. If I go to South Africa, France, if I go to another country and I try to use that at the counter, a lot of places won't take it, even though it has value. But they won't take it because it's not their currency. So I have to exchange it for what's called rand. That's their currency. And so any government you go to, any territory, country you go to, they're going to have their own currency. Faith is the currency in this government. It says in Matthew, I think it's supposed to be Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, I apologize. But it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith. So when you have faith, there's a lot you can do. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how do I get my weight up? How do I stack those chips, stack those faith chips? Hearing the word of God. Come on, stack it. I saw your head rise up. Stack chips. What'd you say? Somebody say stack chips. That's how you do it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Y'all funny. Our constitution is the Bible. In James chapter 1, verse 25, it talks about the perfect law of liberty. The Bible is our constitution. The Bible helps tell you who God is. It tells you about the system of God, the kingdom of God, and it tells you how you can operate at optimum capacity in that system. But what's amazing is a lot of people want to love God, but don't want to read the Bible about how they can perform in the optimal way in the system in the kingdom of God. Man, I don't understand sometimes, but that's okay. That's not you. Prayer is how we communicate with the government of God. So with the kingdom government, prayer is how we communicate. Luke chapter 11, what did Jesus say? The disciples said, hey, yo, Jesus, hey, teach us. Just teach us to pray. We see you praying. We see you got some power. It's me. It's Peter. It's your boy. Help me out. And Jesus said, okay, I'll teach you to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Next, what he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first thing he did after giving God props was go back to the kingdom. Lord, lead the rest of this prayer because it's about your kingdom coming to earth. It's not about me leaving and going to heaven. It's about your kingdom coming to earth. When I get saved, it's not about getting fire insurance and escaping hell. It's about being able to be used as a vehicle to bring heaven to earth. That's the goal. That's the goal. And praise God, you know, when I get saved, hell is not my future. But the goal is to bring the kingdom to earth. God's way of doing things. What do I mean by bringing the kingdom to earth? That means that I'm going to express God's way of doing things through my life so that it's seen in this natural realm. That's what this means. I'm trying to break it down to the lowest level. That as I operate in the kingdom of God, I understand the system of God, then I act and behave and speak in a way that other people can experience something different through me than they experience through Pookie and them. Pookie. That's your auntie name? Yo, Pookie, okay. I was always wondering who Pookie was, but now I know. Go to the next slide. So just a reminder, what is the kingdom? It's God's divine way of operation. That's the kingdom. So what is this? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul writes this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, say anyone.
Anyone.
He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Say they gone. Behold, all things have become new. Say brand new.
Brand new.
This actually means, if you translate it, not just a new creature or creation, it actually translates a new race. So anybody who is in Christ can put the old life to rest because the new has come. So that means that if you had some things in your old life before you came to Christ, they won't hold you back because now you have a new identity. You have a new nature. You have God's nature imparted into you. It's called righteousness. It puts you in right standing with God. That means that if there's nothing you did to be putting in right standing with God, then there's nothing you can do to be put out of right standing with God. Our natural minds want to tell us that if we do bad, God looks at us as bad. But you can't do bad enough for God to look at you bad, because once you've been saved by grace, you have his nature inside of you. So he sees you the same way as he sees Jesus. Same way. That's why Apostle Paul writes that we are in Christ. And when we're in Christ, when God looks at us, all he sees is Jesus, because we are in him. I can't go into that message, but it's a good message. So what is next month? So God is reintroducing us. I think Justin said this. Maybe it was Kanish. It was one of y'all anointed folks. God is reintroducing us to the original culture of God. That's what the kingdom is. He's reintroducing us to the original culture of God. Thank you. Amen. It was good to me when I heard it too. Go to the next slide. Galatians chapter 5 in verse 18. Almost drank the mic. Yeah. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. Are you with me? Are you with me so far? Okay, I want to make sure I don't lose anybody, because, you know, I was at a youth conference last week and they were like, wow, you're teaching teenagers about the kingdom of God. I said, I have to, because this is all Jesus taught. So I'm out of order if I don't. And I believe that since you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can get this message. So what does it say? Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. But when you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but soaring above it. The cravings of the self-life are obvious, meaning the flesh life, the old man. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, ooh, temper tantrums, angry quarrels. You can go to the next slide. Only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions. Ooh, let me read that one again. Being in love with your own opinions. Being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, this is very interesting. Because, you know, inherit this kingdom of God. He didn't say that you're not saved. Because if you have this freedom, then that means you've experienced the grace of God. So that means that you have experienced salvation. You've made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. But it says, will not inherit the kingdom of God, the realm of God. Interesting. So this means that you will not reap the benefits of what the kingdom of God can do for you. It's like actually coming through the doorway of salvation. Now you're walking in the house and trying to enjoy the benefits. But as soon as I start reverting back to this kind of behavior, I'm frozen. It's like I'm still there, but I can't go anywhere else in the house or enjoy anything else in the house as long as I'm in this condition and I'm in this state. I want to say it like this. When we operate with these actions and these intentions, we will not see the full power of God in our lives. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean that God is mad at you. But it starts to dampen and stop his power from working in your lives. What do I mean? Let me give a couple examples. Let's make it real plain. Wanting God to bless you, but you want the blessing so bad that you start stealing from other people. I know we're in church, so everybody says, well. But studies might show that 1 out of 10 of you are guilty of this one. Desiring peace and joy, but won't stop talking about people behind their back. Oh, should I say it again? Desiring peace and joy, but won't stop talking about people behind their back. I want joy, I want peace, but yet I'm not doing the things that invite and incorporate peace and the peace of God in my life. See, a lot of times we try to blame it on the devil as a scapegoat, but we're doing it to ourselves because he only has the power we give him. It's quiet now. Ooh. We want good health, but won't walk in forgiveness. And studies have shown that there's a link between sickness and unforgiveness and hatred and bitterness. That's why the Bible warns us over and over and over again to forgive, 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 because you weren't meant to handle the weight of the poison of what happens inside of your body when you hold it on to yourself. It rottens the bones. That's what the Word of God says. I'll never forget, I had a college professor. He said this, that sin is trying to meet a legitimate need illegitimately. Sin is trying to meet a legitimate need illegitimately. What does illegitimately mean? It means illegally. So you have a need for provision, but maybe you take it into your own hands. You have a need for love, but maybe you look for love the wrong way. You have a need for acceptance, but maybe you go against your morals and your values to be accepted. It's looking for what you need, but trying to get it the wrong way. I mean, if you have that iPhone or that Android, you can't take any calls or receive any texts while it's off, right? But I mean, if you turn the phone all the way off, you can't do anything. It's just a 1-pound brick. And so when you have it off, you can't use any of the apps. And it's like when you operate in this kind of stuff, it's like you're shutting the phone down. You can't even get the benefit of the thing that's so valuable that can help you do so many things. We're talking about the kingdom of God here. So what's the ultimate key to the kingdom? Turn with me to John 14, 16 through 17. Yeah, I don't know why it deleted on my thing. John chapter 14, verse 16. And Jesus is saying this, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Say forever.
Forever.
Forever, ever, forever, ever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. Next slide. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. What are the things that Jesus said to them? He taught and preached the kingdom. So he's going to bring to your remembrance all things concerning the kingdom of God. He's going to help you navigate this thing. You come into God, you get saved, you say, okay, well, this is good. I'm glad I found Jesus, found God, I received him in my heart. Well, I don't know what to do. But the Holy Spirit now is with you, and he's going to tutor you into greatness. He's going to tutor you on how to operate and navigate in the kingdom of God. That's one of his roles, to be a teacher and a tutor. So you can go to the next slide. So you remember we talked about colonization. We talked about colonization last week. We talked about that the Roman government was the first government in history to exercise colonization. What does that mean? That means that when they go and take over a new territory, instead of killing off the strong men, bringing the women and children back to their home country, what they do is they bring Rome to them. And now we're going to make them part of us. And so that colonization was really similar to how the kingdom of God operated. We know it was God's idea first, but it was how the kingdom of God operated. So when they colonized, what they did was Rome said, okay, we're going to take somebody that we have here in Rome, and we're going to appoint them to be a leader over in this new area, this new colony, and we're going to call them a governor. And the role of the governor was a couple major things. The king doesn't personally go to this new colony, but he administrates his will through his personal representative called a governor who lives in the local colony. So that's point number one. Are you with me?
Yes.
Point number two, the governor lives in a residence built by the home country. That's important. Because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when God's Spirit came in you, he also sent the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit's with you and in you. So now he's taking up residence. And now, once you are a citizen of the new kingdom, we'll say the kingdom of God, the king is responsible for taking care of you. That part got me. Whenever you are now called a citizen of the kingdom, because everybody wasn't considered a citizen, you actually had to be recommended by the governor for citizenship, because citizenship came with special privileges and benefits. And when you're a citizen, now the king is directly responsible for your well-being. Everything. All of your well-being, the king is now responsible for it. And now the governor is the Holy Spirit, and he's there to help us. I'll give you a real-time example. Haiti. Haiti is down in the Caribbean. Do you know what country colonized Haiti? Anybody know? France. So France colonized Haiti. Haiti got their independence, I think, in 1804. They fought for their independence. And France, what it means was that France went there and they claimed the area of Haiti for them. They say, this is France's land now. And to this day, Haitians still speak French. Why do they speak French? Because that is the country they were colonized by. See, the country you were colonized by, you adopted all of the customs of that home country. So that means that if we are disciples of Christ, if we have been, you know, we've been saved by grace through Jesus' blood, and then we are entering into the kingdom of God, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that means we have been colonized to be able to represent the kingdom of God, and we have to adopt all of the customs and the culture of God. God's system, his operating system. So Haiti, they decided to, you know, claim independence. They fought for their independence, and they won. But they still speak French to this day. And what's so crazy is on the other half of that same geographical island, what's on the other half of that island? Does anybody know the other country? Dominican Republic. Do you know what language Dominican Republic speaks? Espanol. They're on the same island. Cut the island in half. One speaks French, one speaks Spanish. Why does the other speak Spanish? Because they were colonized by Spain. Se habla español. Se habla español. Español. Once again, what is the kingdom? It's God's divine way of operation. Next slide. I'm almost done. Next slide. I want to take my time. They don't want me to. The Holy Spirit is the governor of the kingdom of God. That's what you got to get. The Holy Spirit is the governor of the kingdom of God. So we said the kingdom of God is inside of you. And as the kingdom of God is inside of you, it's God's operational system. It's God's iOS. It's God's iOS. The governor, or the Holy Spirit, is the governor of the kingdom of God. So he's the tips. He's the one that's helping you learn how to operate in the kingdom of God with proficiency. It's a new government, new way of doing things. Next slide. John chapter 16 and verse 13 in the Amplified, it says this. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority. That's important. He will not speak his own message, the Holy Spirit, on his own authority, because he's only going to speak what the King, what the Father speaks. Sounds familiar, right? Jesus said, I only say and do what I hear my Father say and what I see my Father do. But he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. So it has been stated by your government that you should know the future. I need you to hear this. It has been stated by your government, the kingdom of God, that you have a right to know your future. You should never be in the dark about your future. Why? Because your constitution says so. And if you're in the dark, you need to give more time to the governor and more space to the governor and more availability to the governor to tell you what the kingdom is declaring about you. What does the blueprint in heaven say about David Winston? I am promised that I never have to be in the dark. The Holy Spirit is the tutor to tutor us in the ways of the kingdom, to help us get back into proper alignment. He's with us, and he's going to show us. Next slide. You cannot accurately operate in the kingdom without the Holy Spirit tutoring you on how to do so. I want to say this again. You cannot accurately operate in the kingdom without the Holy Spirit tutoring you on how to do so. Well, you say, but I have the Bible, and that's good. That's a great start. But how many people have mismanaged the scriptures before? Right? Because the flesh wants what it wants, so the flesh can help you see what you want to see. Well, I mean, you know, Jesus turned water into wine. Why can't we turn up? No, the flesh will help you see what you want to see. So it will help you find a license to party. It's going to help you find a license to do what you want to do. That's why the Apostle Paul, he was very clear. I die daily. I tell this flesh, shut up every day. He knew he couldn't trust it. He couldn't play with it. It's always something that's waiting to express itself if I give it an avenue. So I need the Holy Spirit to show me what to do. What does that mean? That might mean disconnect from this friend. That might mean, you know, don't go to this party here. That might mean, you know what, you should try out for this team. That might mean you should make sure to tell the truth on this thing. And what you didn't know is they already knew that you cheated. And if you hadn't told the truth, you were about to get expelled. That's what you didn't know. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, knew. So he's tutoring you on how to have success in life. The Holy Spirit has been assigned as your divine success agent to make sure that you are successful. That's your help. Say, that's my help. So let's keep going. We're almost done. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. So it's talking about, it's not about what you're doing here all externally. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the righteousness is that new nature. So once again, it's coupling the kingdom of God with the Holy Spirit. Next slide, it says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Say, I'm an ambassador. This word ambassadors, it is a military word. It's not necessarily a diplomatic word. We might know it now as a diplomatic person. You know, an ambassador, for Russia is somebody who might live in the U.S. but represents the Russian government from the U.S. They're sent from Russia. We're not talking about that, though. We're not talking about somebody who's trying to help make, you know, nice relations and, you know, United Nations and how can we all get along together. This word ambassadors is taken from a military word that actually meant one of two things. It meant that we have a main goal that we are going to take over. So you can either come peacefully and decide that you're going to let us take over, or you can say that we're not going to go and we'll just fight you and take over. But one way or another, we are going to turn this area into a place for the kingdom of God to be. That's what this means. So it says we are ambassadors for Christ, meaning that we are supposed to be able to take land, take territory for the kingdom of God. Now you say, well, the kingdom of God is not a natural thing. It's not like the Roman government, but you can take areas for the kingdom of God simply by expressing the light of Christ. Hello, somebody. Can I get somebody here? The light of Christ is how you can take territory for God. Expressing the light of Christ in the dark areas. That's how you take territory. That school is different because you are there. That job is different because you are there. Your neighborhood is different because you're there. Your household is different because you've been coming to go hard and now you're learning some things and you're expressing what you're learning. Those areas are different. And when you are taken out, those areas change for the worse. That's how you know you're having an impact. I was listening to a message earlier today and the guy said this, and this hit me deep. This hit me deep, Justin. He said, what if you were on trial for being a Christian? Imagine being on trial for being a Christian. I say, Johnny, you're on trial for being a Christian. Would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence in your life, enough witnesses to testify against you to say that she's the real deal? He's the real deal. Oh, yeah, he's a Christian. I can give you all of the evidence that point back to him being a Christian. He's a true believer. Or would you be acquitted because there wasn't enough evidence to convict you for being a true Christian? I was like, man, that's deep. Let's end. Next slide. Second to last slide. I didn't talk about Isaiah, but that's okay. Of the increase of the government, there'll be no end. So what's the principal point? We talked about this last week. God's plan of redemption was ultimately a plan for humanity to regain dominion. God's plan of redemption was ultimately a plan for humanity to regain dominion. We read in Genesis 1:28, and God said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air. God gave us dominion, and that's what God is trying to get us back to. It says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our God. My last slide. I wanted to give you some of just further reading. Our pastor wrote an excellent book called The Kingdom of God in You. And Dr. Miles Monroe has done some of the best Kingdom of God teaching, I think, that I've experienced. But he wrote a couple books, Rediscovering the Kingdom and The Most Important Person on Earth, talking about the Holy Spirit. I heavily advise you, if you're really curious about the Kingdom of God, get these books. And they'll really help you. They'll really change you. And I'll say this. The more you learn about the Kingdom of God, the more you want to express the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God is not about religion. I'm going to give you a little secret. Are you ready? Are you ready, streaming audience? I'm going to give you a secret. If you try to bring religion to people, people will just fight your religion with their religion. But if you approach them with something that transcends religion, everybody's looking for joy. Check this out. Everybody's looking for peace. Check this out. Everybody's looking for more money, more provision. Everybody's looking for favor. Everybody's looking to come up, right? Everybody's looking for a job. Everybody is looking for good health. Everybody is looking for a good night's sleep. Everybody is looking to have a safe place to live. Everybody's looking to take care of their family. These are all things that I'm describing that exist in the kingdom of God. When you present religion to people, they'll just fight your religion with their religion. But when you present a new government and a new way and system of doing things, that's a deal that's hard to turn down. When I say that I can sew, I got my first car by sowing $350. I sowed it as a seed, put it in the offering bucket. I was 16 years old and got my first car cash. Bought a brand new 2002 Toyota Camry. Other people weren't paying for that. Bill Winston wasn't paying for that. I tried already. I tried to get him. He wasn't going. But how did I do it? Sowing a seed. Sowing and reaping works. Healing in your body. I mean, you can get healed by faith. You can get surgery, and that's fine. But there's actually an even better way. That's less costly and more time effective and a lot less painful. These are all things that the kingdom of God offers. This is God's way of doing things. But we have to put our trust and our confidence and faith in God to be able to take him up on his word, to exercise his will, and then be able to tell somebody else about the good news, about what happened in our life, and about how the kingdom has changed and transformed us. You wonder why so many people follow Jesus? He didn't have a Twitter account. He had no IG, no Facebook. But everywhere he went, they showed up in droves, stalker mode, activate. I mean, they were there. Why? Because he was a walking demonstration of a better system. Walking demonstration of a better system. God created the people. That's right. He was a creator. But Jesus demonstrated how we can live on this earth. And other people saw it. And they didn't try to fight it with religion. They said, how can I enter in? How can I be a part? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for giving us this opportunity. to just learn of you, Father, to hear from you. Holy Spirit, you are the governor of the kingdom. You are the most important person. Show us exactly how we can work to expand the kingdom of God, how we can work to advance the kingdom of God, how we can be a living testimony to others, Lord, to show them that there is a better way and we can live selflessly, Lord, and that we can show forth your power and your glory in this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you move, with all my heads bowed, all my eyes closed, just so you're not distracted, I want to give you an